and soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born. Oh, sing it. Sing it again. Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You were born for the valley. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirit to the ground. How many of you feel like you're an eagle this morning? Well, we got 14 that's eagles. What in the world are the rest of you? How many of you feel like you're eagles this morning? Do you mean that from your heart, or are you just doing it because I rebuked you? Do you really mean that you feel like you're an eagle this morning? You've been caught up. You can see things that most people can't see this morning. Are you glad about it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. God bless you, fella eagle. Amen. Play some more of that, guys. I want you to sing it like you believe it. So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. You were born for the valley. You were born to soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Lord. Amen. Well, how many of you enjoyed service here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Brother David blessed our heart from the word of God last night. He certainly did. And we're here again this morning. How many of you need a renewing or refreshing this morning? Every time we come, we need God to speak to our hearts. If it's in a form of encouragement, rebuke, a challenge, whatever it is, we want more of Him, don't we? Somebody say amen right now. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you get ready this morning to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these prayer requests. Our sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for my dad, Gary Manuel, who is having heart surgery on Wednesday. So we certainly want to remember that need as we pray. Michael and Draven Graham, send this in to please pray for Draven's mother, who is under the attack of the enemy and needs salvation for her soul. So we certainly want to pray for those needs this morning. Sister Boone sends this in to please remember Tommy Boone in prayer. He fell about 25 feet from a tree that he was cutting and broke some bones and got hurt pretty bad. also pray for his salvation. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Carter Lawson's sister-in-law, very sick. Most of all, pray for her salvation. Let's remember that. I want to pray for Brother Orville Reese this morning, who has an upper respiratory infection. So let's remember him. I want to pray for the Lawrence family for several needs in their lives. So let's remember that need as we pray. Sister Rachel Scott says to please pray for my uncle Coy. He has been diagnosed with prostate cancer and has a tumor on his spine. They want to do surgery to remove the tumor, but they say there is a risk of paralysis. Also pray for my Aunt Sandy and the family, as this has been a very stressful time, so we want to remember those needs as we pray. Brother Jerry Glenn offers this testimony. He had cataract surgery on Wednesday on his right eye. Can see better now after surgery than he had when he was wearing glasses. He wants to praise the Lord. He's got to have cataract surgery on his left eye October the 25th. So we just believe with Brother Jerry that all is going to be all right. Amen. Aren't you glad God is mindful of all of our situations? You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand together as Brother Daniel takes us to the Lord in prayer? We certainly appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? Amen. Bless you, buddy.
Amen. It's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? Amen. I came across something I thought it was good. It says, I was listening to my local radio station while I was driving in my car. When I drive away from the radio tower, the signal gets weaker and weaker. But if I turn the car around and drive back into town, the signal becomes stronger and stronger. In the same way, we stop hearing God when we drift away from Him. But if we turn around and come back to Him, we'll hear His voice again. The closer we get to God, the clearer we can hear Him. I think Brother Brown said one place, he said, do you ever get off the track? He said, you got to go back to where you got off at. Amen. And if anybody is in that condition, I pray that today will be your day to get back. Amen. Let's pray over these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne, knowing God that you say in your word, whatever we ask in faith believing, God, we believe you this morning for these requests, these needs. God, we pray that you'll move for each one of them. God, some of them was desperate. Oh, God, many of them, God, maybe financial needs, maybe household needs, or whatever it might be. God, your hands are not too short, or your ears are not too heavy. God, we thank you because we know that you can take care of each problem here this morning. God, we pray for the visitors that's among us. We pray for those, God, that's listening over the internet. Wherever they might be, God, we pray that you'll be with them today. That you'll heal them and supply their needs. God, we pray that you'll move for a pastor. God, as he's away from the church today, pray that you'll bless him. God, we pray for this church, these people. God, that you'll keep your hand upon them. Help us today, God, that we'll hear from heaven. Bless Brother David as he ministers unto us. God, we commit this service fully into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray it'd be a great blessing to those folks as well. So let's sing a song this morning. Heard Brother Branham say on a tape just a while ago, the blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. It'll never lose its power. Aren't you glad about that this morning? Are you glad you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb? The washing of the Word, it cleanses us every time, don't it? The washing of the Word of God as it comes into our life and flows through us, and we lay down things that we don't need to be doing. We pick up things that we do need to be doing. But we're washed by the water of the Word. Are you glad about it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's sing it this morning. There's power in the blood. Brother, if you can find it on the screen for me. Amen. We'll start with this book right here. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you war evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Jesus, your King. Oh, yes, there is. Would you live daily His praises to sing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
gives me strength from day. The blood, I know it was the blood, Brother David. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon that cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Thank God for the blood. God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, one day when I was lost, He died upon that cross. Thank God for the blood for me. Sing this part. Well, there's power in the blood. Oh, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood for me. One day where I was lost, He died upon that cross. I know that by the blood for me. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. You can be seated as Brother David gets ready to sing for us. We sure appreciate this guy, don't we? Amen.
Who told the sun would arise in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. That very same God who spins worlds in orbit runs to the weak, the weary and the worn, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Yes, I know my Redeemer. testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer. Testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer, and He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim that the pardon for my sin was the precious life He gave, and now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. I know, testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer. Testify, this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer, my Redeemer, He lives.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Bless Your name today, Lord. We worship You. We magnify You. You're a mighty God. Praise God. Oh, aren't you glad you serve a risen Savior? There's a lot of people serve a God that's dead in a tomb. But our God's alive this morning. Praise God. Matter of fact, not only is He alive, He's here. I brought Him with me and you brought Him with you. Praise be to God. We will go to the book of Leviticus this morning, chapter 13. We greet you in the name of the Lord. Certainly an honor to be in the house of the Lord with you again this morning. Leviticus chapter 13, we want to start with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 8 and we'll give you our subject again and let you be seated. I'm under great anticipation this morning. I'm as thankful for the waters of separation. Leviticus 13 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising, a scab, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. There's that number again. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at stay, and the plague spread not into his skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. And the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest, listen to this, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's just a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he had been seen of the priest for his cleaning, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. I'd like to speak to you this morning on that little subject, the Lord will help us. Loosing the leper. Loosing the leper. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us this morning as we approach Him. Lord Jesus, we love You this morning with all of our hearts. And Lord, we are so blessed that we can be called the sons and daughters of Almighty God. To be able to come here into this place this morning, Lord, Father, we are so honored to be able to be here, Lord, as we sense Your presence in this place, Lord, through the song service. Lord, as Brother Louis sang about the songs of the blood and the power that lays within that blood. And Lord, not just a bloody lamb, but then we heard that our Redeemer is risen and He lives and He ever liveth making intercession. And Father, we're thankful this morning that we are serving You as a risen Savior, Lord. And Father, we believe that You are interceding on behalf of Your children even yet this morning. And Father, we're asking that You would take the word, Lord. May You bless it to our hearts. May we be edified, Lord, as we come to look to You. Speak to every heart. Speak to every life. Move in this place today. I ask that, Lord, this atmosphere would just be charged with faith, Lord, and that the enemy would just be cast aside, that we could take this Sunday morning, Lord, just to hear something from Your word. Edify us, Lord. May You restore those that need restored. Heal those that need healed. Bless us all, we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Loosing the leper. I won't have any time to background from what we was looking at last night, so I got about 45 minutes to get this one done. So just pray with us that the Lord will help us. I want to start with this little subject that we was just kind of going into the washing of the water by the Word. And we've read in the book of Leviticus how that God has instituted a law for the leper. And we know that God would project this law to us because of the instructions that He's going to give to Aaron, the instructions that He's going to give to Moses, and how that God is going to teach them for this disease that would come among them on how they are to deal with this leprosy once someone would contract this disease. And we know that leprosy in the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, leprosy was one of the most feared diseases in all the world. Because, of course, you know, just in the last 100 years, they've actually even begun to diagnose it, to be able to find a cure for it. But then being no cure for it, how that man was, they feared it. There was a phobia that you could contract this. And so they were so careful in how that they dealt with this, because it being a type of the plague, once it would come among them, that it would move among so quickly and go from one to another to another. So God is telling them and instructing the priesthood on how to deal with this leprosy, this disease, when it comes among them. Now, for an individual to contract this disease, we understand that it was considered to be a death sentence for any man that would be guilty of leprosy in their bodies. It would be considered death because very few would ever be cleansed. But yet there would be some that would be cleansed from their leprosy. Praise God. Now, because of this person being destined to die, this person being destined to go by the way of the grave, as they would tell us that a man may last somewhere around 9 years, and it would move upon the man ever so slowly. As Brother M tells us, why it had to be shepherds, it would move upon a man slowly. But then as it begins to move upon a man, he begins to find the disease begins to take effect upon his body. And that's the way sin is with man, that it moves on a man, Brother Ram said, ever so slowly, that man begins to fall into the depths of sin. And we know that how that the leprosy being a bacterial disease, and how that it was a disease that would take place in the flesh, and the flesh would become an enemy against the man who truly lived inside of that body. Now, Wikipedia tells us that leprosy, according to the definition, that leprosy, that the symptoms that develop include a granulomas of the nerves, an infection of the nerves and the respiratory tract of the skin and in the eyes. And this may result in a lack of the ability to be able to feel pain. And it's a loss of the parts of extremities due to the repeated injuries or the infection due to unnoticed wounds. It's a weakness, and it brings on poor eyesight. They also be present when a man takes upon leprosy. So leprosy makes one weak. Leprosy will take someone, it affects their eyes where they cannot see like they need to see. They cannot feel the way that they want to feel. And this disease causes someone to lose sensory nerves. Oh my, to be able to sense. Oh, I want to preach so bad I can't hardly stand it. They lose the ability to sense and to feel. And you know, the presence of God could come by, but if your sensory nerves is not able to respond to it and something would have infected them by a granulous disease, you'll find that you can't feel it. So they become stale. They become stagnant because they can't feel like they need to feel. They cannot sense the way they need to sense. And the scripture tells us that a man that would contract this disease, how that 7 days, whenever a spot would come upon his body, and how that they would watch that spot ever so closely to see if it begins to move and to spread from to another part of the body. And then if it should come upon one, how that the priest would take and they would begin to examine that man. And the high priest would take after 7 days, and he would look him all over and look at the skin and see if the pink was there and the hair was turning white as a symptom with the leprosy. And the high priest had the ability, the high priest had the ability to judge whether it was leprosy or not. I said it was the high priest that judged whether it was leprosy or not. And if the high priest saw that it was spreading into the body, how that he would take it, he would pronounce judgment over that individual who had contracted that disease, that loathsome disease of leprosy. For the scripture tells us that the priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh. The flesh contracts this, and the flesh is the one that contends with this. So the leper's biggest enemy is his flesh. I said the leper's biggest enemy. Oh, brother, it ain't your wife. It ain't your sister. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the deacon. Your biggest enemy is the same enemy that I got this morning. Brother Branham said William Branham's biggest enemy is William Branham. And David Siler's biggest enemy is David Siler. And Terry Horn's biggest enemy is Terry Horn. It's because it is a disease of the flesh. And you find the disease spreading from one part to another. I'm going to try to behave, but it's going to be hard, so hang on. And the priest will look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now, if the priest would declare one to be a leper, and he found sufficient evidence to be able to bring the pronunciation over that man or that woman or that child even, he would call them a leper. Now think about it. He takes upon the name of the leper. He begins to act the ways of a leper. He walks the walk of a leper. He dresses the dress of a leper. Hallelujah. Notice, think about it. He's called by that name, and he can do no other than the name that he is called by. For whatever they call him, that's what he is. If the high priest would pronounce this over it and make the announcement that he is a leper and that name is upon him, he can only act out the actions, the characteristics of what that name is.
Oh my, no longer a friend to someone, he is a leper. No longer a brother, no longer a spouse, no longer a daddy, he is a leper. He's removed from his family, he's removed from the church, he's removed from the camp, he's removed from fellowship, and he's cast outside the church because he is a leper. Hallelujah. Because leprosy is contagious. Glory. Because he's contagious, they take and they cast him out to the outside of the camp. Oh Lord. But if you got blood of a heifer on the outside, if you got a sacrifice who's willing to go beyond the camp. Oh, hallelujah. If you have one who's willing to go to where the leper is at. Oh, friends, think about what God can do for a leper who's on the outside of the camp. He's removed from the camp because he's so contagious that if any spittle or the man sweat as it would be, that would fall upon another, how that it could infect the skin of another. Oh, can I just say like this? Sin breeds sin. Unbelief breeds unbelief. And it is absolutely contagious. Leviticus 13:44, and he is a leprous man. And he is, I preached about she last night. I'm talking about he today. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. For the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. And his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry. Notice this word cry means to pronounce. This word cry means to announce. This word cry means to declare among everywhere you go. He is to cry unclean. He cries unclean, unclean. In all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now notice, he becomes separated from the camp because he's infectious to others. There's a separation that takes place. Oh, can I say it like this? He has crossed the chasm, and he has, oh my, he's been across the chasm, and now he's been reprimanded because of his disease, and he is commissioned to live outside the camp, and now he is laying there because of the high priest's judgment, because him being worthy of the judgment of the high priest, he's banished from the camp. I'm preaching, they're considered outcast. Nobody wants to be near them. No fellowship. No friends to come. No love. No help. They get to the place where no one wants to be around them. They can't work because they're not welcome in the camp. Oh my, they can't labor in the vineyard because they're not welcome around other people. They have been banished and they simply become beggars. Oh, hallelujah. They become beggars. Oh my, leprosy affects the nerves within the body. And the leper has no ability to be able to sense pain. I'm told that they could take and reach down into a bed of coals. And when they would reach down, they could pick a rock up out of the coals and never even realize that it's hot. Because there's all, listen, there's no connection. There's no sensory nerves to be able to tell the mind that it's hot. You'll touch an open flame with your hand. Immediately, it sends a signal before you can hardly even think. It says, that's hot, you let it down. Why? Because the sensory nerves is working. Oh, but when you can't sense and feel the way that you need to feel, you can't sense the fire when it comes among us. You can't sense the fire that comes into the church. You can't have a birth the way that you need a birth. You can't be born again the way you need to be born again, because you can't sense it when it comes by. Nobody wants to be around you. No fellowship. Oh my, there's no communion. There's no brotherly kindness. There's no love to help them. Oh, how can I say it today to get you to understand you are banished from the very presence of brotherhood. Oh, as Paul says, they become desensitized. They're unaware. Oh, let me preach. They are unaware. They're unaware of the presence. They're unaware of what's taking place. Because the bacteria would eat away at their bodies until they wouldn't even look human no more. The look upon their face when it begins to spread even across their lips, even up into their face, how that would begin to eat away. And it would eat away at their flesh until literally the flesh would begin to deteriorate and many parts of the body would completely fall off. Until when they'd come around, you would look at them and they wouldn't even hardly look human. And all they was commanded by the priest to take and to cover up their lips and to cover up their face because they were so infected by this disease, you couldn't even stand to look upon them. They would have open wounds in their bodies. The discharge that would take place in their bodies as the wounds would come open. And they would begin to ooze with the fluid, a bodily discharge that would take place, that would completely begin to drain the leper. And the leper constantly having to take in fluids because he's constantly bleeding. He's constantly oozing this infection. I'm not trying to make you sick today, but let me tell you about it. It is an oozing disease. Their eyebrows would fall out. Their eyes would become low and staring, and how that the voice would be affected by the disease, that it would affect the vocal cords within their throat where they didn't have. I said they can't speak the way they need to speak. They don't sound right. They don't sound human, just a low, raspy voice. And they would walk from place to place using what little voice they had to cry out that I'm unclean. The hands and the feet, especially. Oh, listen now. What it touched, where it went, would become ulcerated. Until they would find that they would so slowly they would suffer. Until finally it would move and begin to multiply from one ulcerated sore. And it began to break open. And then it would begin to spread. Hallelujah. And the average course would be about 9 years. And at first, maybe undetectable. At first, maybe ever so sly, just slip underneath the gate. Maybe so innocent where nobody even realizes what's going on. Maybe it comes in just so innocent. Maybe you don't even realize what it is when it first starts, but it begins to move in little by little. Remember Jesus said, it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. I would finally, literally, yet alive, feeling dead. Alive with their heart beating. But the disease would put them to the place until their body literally, think about it, it would decay on their very bones. Until finally, toward the end, they become so weak. The loss of fluid, they come into shock, so much fluid loss, until finally, they would finally lay down and they would slip into a coma and eventually they would die. But this leper, he would become so repudiated, oh my, and repulsive amongst the people. But not just repulsive to the people, he's repulsive to himself. It's never said, a leper never wants to look in a mirror to be able to examine what leprosy has done to him. He would rather keep it hidden. He would rather keep it covered up. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Whenever the leper would begin to walk down the road, he would have to give a warning to everybody that's around him. He would cry out a warning, and he would say these words and repeat these words over and over again, holding no normal conversation, no normal fellowship amongst the people. But the only words he would use and that he could say that somebody would even want to hear is the words unclean. That's all I wanted to hear from a leper. Unclean. Unclean. Think about it. This man would walk like a leper. He would be cloaked in the cloak of a leper, cover his face with the covering of a leper, and his speech identified what was wrong with him. The articulation of his words identified what his problem was. He was identified by his speech. The way he talked identified what disease that he had. He's identified by what he wears. He's identified by how he talks. Oh, they would cover themselves. The leper, oh, let me say it like this. The leper, he would make himself a covering. He would make himself a covering. He would make himself a religion. He made his own covering to try to become to a place where maybe if you can't see it, then maybe you won't think so bad of me. But beneath that cloak, beneath that garment, it's petrified. Oh my, just sores that's oozing. Though you can't see it in the garment would be an absorber for the fluid that's coming out of his body. I said the covering that he made himself would only cover and absorb the disease that's in his body. He was identified not only by the way he walked, not only by the way he talked. He was identified by where he lived. Hallelujah. Lepers being banished and excommunicated from the people, they was to live in the colony of the lepers. And lepers was not afraid to be around other lepers. Amen. I said lepers ain't afraid to have fellowship with other lepers. But I'll remind you in the word that light has no fellowship with darkness at all. But if you have contracted the dreadful disease of leprosy, you don't mind being around other lepers because you can't be no worse than what you are. So they would live in the colony called the leopard colony. What a horrible sight. What a horrible sight to think that a man or a woman or even a child would have to live like this. What a disgusting picture. Somebody whose body is so contaminating and oozing from their wounds, oozing the fluid many times they'd be begging, they need alms, and they would reach to get the alm and the hand would be gone. Just petrified sores, just a oozing open wound to where the hand was at, but it's oozing with fluids. Can you imagine? The leper was defiled by all his actions. Oozing from his hands, everything he touched was infected. Oozing from his feet, everywhere he went, become infected. The face unbearable to look upon, and to the place where to think about it, how that he is so defiled. Oh, if he drank from a vessel, because he touched that vessel that he drank from would be defiled because a leper touched it. If he lays on a bed, the bed becomes defiled because he's a leper. And whoever sat on the bed after the leper sat on that bed, they themselves would become defiled because now they have touched what a leper has touched. If he touched the wall of a house, that wall become unclean. And it must be purged and brought through a cleansing process. Wherever he went, he tainted the atmosphere. Even the atmosphere that was around him. Because they would understand the leper breathing. They would say that the air that he would exert from within his body contaminated the very air and the atmosphere. Oh, hallelujah. The atmosphere that was around him because he was a leper. His breath was a dangerous pestilence in the air or some type of an airborne disease that they would be scared to death to even breathe the very air that a leper has breathed. You said, Brother David, that's a terrible sign. I agree it is. But let me tell you something far worse than leprosy. And that's the leprosy of the soul. Now hang on, somebody. That's my foundation. Is that all right? If you've got leprosy of the soul, you become desensitized to the very word of God. You become repulsed. Think about it. Because of sin within a man, he can't even stand to live with himself. He can't even stand to look upon himself. He can't stand to bear the image that he's projected. He can't stand to hear the words that comes from his lips because he's a leper. He's desensitized to the world. He's desensitized to everything. Think about it. He's been polluted. He's been polluted, and everywhere he goes, becomes polluted. Oh, when he was outside the camp, how that he was living in a life. A man that's a leper, it's a type of sin. A man living in sin, he lives a life of shame. He lives a life that's defiled. He lives a life that is unclean. Oh, let me tell you, for you, in case you forgot, our eyes was polluted. Everything we touched was polluted. Our speech was polluted. Amen. Our feet was polluted. They went to places they should not go. They touched things they should not touch. They seen things they should not look on. It's because it was leprosy of the soul. As the songwriter so beautifully wrote, as he would tell us how that we was lost and undone without Christ or his son. Our lives produced such a stench that was unbearable. Oh, how that God desires a sweet smelling Savior. But brother, when you serve the devil and you have become desensitized and affected by leprosy, your life is it's unbearable. And there's a stench. There's a stench that comes with it. By our actions, we proved we were sinners. By our deeds, we proved we were sinner. By the lives we lived, we proved we had leprosy. I said, by our action speaks louder than our words do. Everyone that was around us recognized that we was a sinner. We all think about it. And other sinners was not afraid to be around us. As a matter of fact, that's the only fellowship that other lepers had was other lepers that's infected with the disease of leprosy. Hallelujah. Think about it. We had a sin disease. We had a sin disease. And everywhere we went, by the way we walked, by the way we talked, by the way we acted, we was crying out to the world. We was crying out to the church. We was crying out to the camp. I am unclean. I'm unclean. Don't you understand? I'm unclean. All of our actions were stained and tainted with evil. Defiled, wretched, low down, loathsome. Come on, somebody. Why? It's a type of sin among us. For the prophet said, why it had to be shepherds. Leprosy symbolizes sin. Incurable. Especially in its last stage. So the closer to the end you get, the closer to the end we get, the more leprosy there's going to be. Because it's always the darkest right before the dawn. So the further that it goes, the worse that it gets. Oh friend, do we understand? We've heard it since we was children, that sin will take you further than what you even want to go. It just so easily moves in among us. It so easily moves upon a man that's trying to walk right, a man that's trying to live right, and it comes in so innocent sometimes. I could preach right here. It moves in so innocent sometimes, and somehow sin wants to move in unrecognized, and it wants to be because you, and before long, when it moves in, it becomes common, just like the world today. They're trying to make sin common among us. They're trying to make it as though it's normal. Our government tries to make us think that homosexuality is normal. And the more they talk about it, the more they publish it, the more pictures they take of it. What's it? What is the world trying to do? What's the media trying to do? They're trying to desensitize us to make us feel like it's normal. It is not normal. It is the spirit of leprosy on a man that would be infected with this dreadful disease. Hallelujah! I said it's leprosy! The prophet says an influence. Oh, now you say, what do you mean leprosy? Leprosy represents, or it types, rather of sin. When a man won't stand correction of the Word of God, he's full. Watch the latter stages. He's full of leprosy. Now watch the characteristics of leprosy. When the pastor begins to correct us by the Word, and the Word is trying to bring correction to the church, you watch that spirit upon that individual. You watch that spirit upon that person that's infected with the disease of leprosy. He's full of leprosy. He blows up and carries on. Hallelujah, somebody. He blows up. You know why? He's infected with the disease, and he may not even know it. And he can't. Oh, I'll tell you right now, that Donnie Reagan ain't going to tell me nothing. I ain't going to listen to that man. Leprosy! You're attributed to a man, but it ain't the man that corrects us. It's the Word of God that corrects us. It's the Word that corrects us. Full of leprosy, blows up and carries on. Influence, Brother Bram says, I'd rather have leprosy naturally any time than to have that kind of leprosy. That's the leprosy of the soul. When you go up and walk out, you right then, when you go up and walk out, you're right then broke out again in leprosy. I've had people in my meetings get up and stomp right out the back of the church. Do you know why? Leprosy. And by their actions, you can identify what their problem is. When they get up and they walk right out, I won't listen to another word of that. I can't stand what that man is saying. If that man is preaching the Word of God, if he's preaching the gospel, and you blow up and you march out. Leprosy. Help me, Lord Jesus. Give me strength. Leprosy. You right then broke out again in leprosy. Sin. It's worse than leprosy. It's the leprosy of the soul. In the Bible, when it would mention leprosy, let me try to term this. Leprosy must be cleansed. Glory. Almost every time the scripture mentions leprosy, it talks about the cleansing of leprosy. Hallelujah. And the reason why is because leprosy is a type of sin. And sin has to be cleansed. Oh, glory. But for sin to be cleansed, for leprosy to be cleansed, you've got to have a cleansing agent that has the ability, hallelujah, that has the ability to take the very disease of leprosy away. Whenever the high priest would take in a man who had been infected with a disease. In the book of Leviticus, think about it. God not only tells us what the disease does, not only does the scripture tell us the characteristics of the disease. You're with me, ain't you? it don't just describe the characteristics of sin, which is unbelief. It tells us how to get well. Take that, devil. Amen. Oh my, think about it. In order for leprosy to be cleansed, you've got to be announced by the high priest. Glory. And the leper himself must confess that he is clean. You can't even be saved unless you confess you're saved. Do you know you can't be saved unless you say it from your mouth? Do you know you can't be saved unless you have the confession, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm covered by the blood. That is a part of the Word of God. Lest a man should confess he is clean. He's not clean yet. You must confess that I'm clean. High priest, I come before you. I throw myself before you. I'm clean. And the high priest would begin to examine the leprosy upon that man. Now notice, leprosy must be cleansed by the high priest alone. Lord, help me today. And when it comes to sin, sin can only be cleansed by the high priest alone. Hallelujah. I said our high priest, it's not the Pope. It ain't Francis. It ain't Trump. And it certainly ain't no Clintons. Hallelujah! Our high priest is the one who is resurrected from the dead. Our high priest, he has given us his name, and that's a name that's above every name. His name is greater than leprosy. His name is greater than high blood pressure. His name is greater than disease. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah! And that substitute of blood is just as powerful right now in this service. And I challenge you, as the servant of Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that blood has an atoning, quickening power behind it to cleanse any leper in this building today. You may ask me, what can wash away my sin? And my answer will be, nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. I said nothing. There ain't no doctor. There ain't no physician. There ain't no nurse. There ain't nothing that can take away my sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. When the high priest would examine one, not only would the high priest pronounce them a leper, he would also be obligated to announce them clean. It would be the job of the high priest to declare in the midst of his brethren that he is clean. Thank you, Lord. Oh, whatever caused him to be separated has now had an answer to that sin disease. Whatever caused him to be banished on the outside of the camp, now there's something that can speak on his behalf. There's a great high priest. Oh my, whatever it caused him to live in that barren, desolate, solitary camp, then that camp of the lepers, oh my, it takes the announcement of the high priest to bring him back to where he originally belongs at. When a leper gets loosed from his sin, I mean his leprosy, God has already instituted a way to bring him back into the camp. Now listen very closely, Lord, give this to me, hang on. Whenever Moses, which represents the law, which represents the Torah, Moses was sent by God down to Egypt as a type of the deliverer, as a type of the great emancipator. He was there to bring deliverance to those who are in bondage. He is there to lead those who's in that desolate, solitary confinement, that barren place of Egypt. He's there to bring deliverance to them. He's there to loose the prisoners. He comes into the camp as God has led him down there. And he comes up before Pharaoh. And God is going to validate and vindicate that this is the deliverer. Hallelujah, somebody. He's the one to bring every soul out from that barren condition. Oh, and God was not just going to tell him, but God was going to vindicate. Hallelujah. Which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was going to validate that this ain't just another man. This ain't just another person. That this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He comes up before Pharaoh. God tells him to take his hand. And his hand would be ever so clean, spotless, no leprosy, completely pure, completely innocent, no fault in it at all. He said, Moses, take your hand and put it into your bosom. And Moses takes that clean, undefiled hand and he sticks it in his bosom. As the scripture would say, the cloak, as it was overlapped, he would take his hand in that overlapped cloak, and they would say he would put it within his bosom, which is the overlapping of the cloak, the overlapping of the covering. Beyond the outside, beyond the sense of sight. Oh, how can I say it to make you see it? And he would put his hand within his bosom, and when he would pull that hand out, that hand would be covered all over with spots of white leprosy. Moses would look at that leprosy that has infected his flesh body. It infected his skin. But God didn't leave him that way. Moses, put your hand again back into your bosom. He puts his hand into his bosom. And God says, now pull it out. And when he pulls the hand out, it's back to its original condition that it was to begin with. Are you with me now? Oh, think about it. You realize initially it was clean, but then it got to a place of oozing. It got to a place of the last stages of leprosy where it was white with certain death upon it. When it come out the first time, it's petrifying sores covered up completely with leprosy. Oh, but when that hand got put back into the bosom of God. Back into the bosom of the deliverer. Back into the bosom of the emancipator. Back into the one who has the ability to loose you from every sin, sick, disease that you had. When you put it back into the bosom and pulled it out, it brought it back to its original condition again. Don't you see that's a type of our first birth? The way we was born the first time, we was covered up with leprosy and sickness and sin. But whenever Christ came as a deliverer, as an emancipator among us, he put us into Christ and we was healed in Christ. And when we come out of Christ, we're clean. Hallelujah! By our first birth, we was infected by leprosy. Hallelujah! Because of the law, we was guilty of leprosy. My little boy Zachary, he got him a police hat and a police badge and a baton and some handcuffs. He called it his police dress. And he put that police jacket on that had that badge on it. He had that baton on his side, had them handcuffs on the other side. He put that hat on and he'd walk around. You know how they do. He come up to my chair where I'm sitting at. He went, "Daddy, you're under arrest." Guilty, take me in. I put the handcuffs on me. And I'd sit there for a few minutes and I'd take them back off. And he'd come back around and say, "Daddy, you're under arrest." 2 minutes later, "Daddy, you're under arrest." And after about an hour of this, I'm tired of being arrested. I'm tired of being arrested. Man, his mom was trying to tell me, "Hey, police officers do more than just arrest." But in his mind, that's what the officer does. His law, his job as a lawman, his job as the application of the law is to arrest. His job is to bind up. His law is to chain up. Hallelujah. Don't you see that's what the law is? The law is a policeman. Hallelujah. He finds you guilty of the things you've done wrong. He finds you guilty of the deeds you've done wrong. He has the ability to lock you up. But it takes the presence of a judge. Come on, somebody. If you're living in an age where the white horse weak point, where the white weak one begins to descend among us, and a judge will be descend among us, the judge has the ability to judicially declare you righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Hallelujah. He's born contaminated, infected by this disease of leprosy. We call it sin. Oh, but one day, when you went back into the bosom of Christ, He loosed me. He loosed this leper. See, what I've been preaching to you this morning, I was preaching about myself. Everywhere we went was defiled. Everything we touched was defiled. Had to be burnt. Oh, but grace has the ability to loose every leper infected. His blood has the power to cleanse every soul. Oh, there is a fountain and it's filled with blood. It's been drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, hallelujah. Sinners can plunge beneath that blood and loose all their guilty stains. Because you and I, when we come into Christ, Colossians says it like this, and I'll hurry. For ye are dead, and your life is hid. Your life is hid in Christ, in God. But Ram says like this in Corinthians. He said, notice before that rod could really be handled, Moses put his hand in his bosom and it became leprosy like every man is to begin with, a sinner by nature. And there's no way around it. You were born in sin, shaped into iniquity. You come to this world speaking lies. You might have been dedicated on the altar of your mother's church. You might have been sprinkled. You might have been this or that. But you were a sinner to begin with. Oh, but God said He put your hand back into your bosom over His heart. He put His hands again at the commission of God. I said our Savior was commissioned by God. He was fulfilling a commission by God. Oh my, where we was brought forth first, His hand was a leper. You were brought forth by God first, a sinner, not by choice, but by nature. Not by seed. Not by seed. Not by seed. But by nature. Then you, go back. What's that next word? Oh yeah, you got it. In other words, you can't go back again unless you was initially a part of Him to begin with. Don't you see, originally you was a son of God. You was an attribute of Almighty God. And redemption made a way to buy you back. Showing that this hand, before it could wave the judgment rod, had to be a clean hand before it could wave it. Oh, why had to be shepherds? There he stands holding in his right hand over his heart, standing like this. We're the hidden secrets of... Excuse me while I shout a little while. He called me a secret hidden. A secret that's hidden. called redemption. It had been hid since the foundation of the world. Here's why shepherd Jesus is God's right hand man. We all know that. There's Moses betraying him exactly. He held the secrets of the Father and has showed them to us. I say, what secrets? Justification after the seals would happen to be one of them. Notice, watch him pull from his bosom his right hand smitten with deadly leprosy. Show that God would do what he would do with his right hand. Notice the leprosy has no cure. Notice again, it was just common leprosy. It wasn't just common leprosy. It was the last stage, white as snow. His hand was smitten with a horrible thing, and Moses must have felt when he pulled his right hand from over his heart out of his bosom and his hand was smitten with leprosy. Leprosy symbolizes sin. Incurable, especially in the last stage. Brother, that's where the world was when God pulled his right hand from his bosom. The world was smitten with deadly leprosy. No cure at all. But you who's been put back into the bosom, may I judicially declare to you by the great high priest, Almighty God, that Brother Branham would pronounce this over you in the message of Invisible Union, 1965. You're standing completely. You never sinned in the first place. God don't even know it. It's in the sea of God's forgiveness. You never did it. You were accused by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son and daughter of God. You're standing there washed. You're standing there washed. Your old book of divorcement has been put away dead, absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. Hallelujah. Can you handle the rest of it? You're the virtuous bride of Christ. Well, Brother David, I don't feel that way. He never asked you, did you feel it? He said, do you believe it? Brother, that's the problem that you got now. You try to figure it out with your mind and you try to sense it with your feelings. It ain't for your feeler to feel. It's for your faith to get a hold of and to attach that faith to it by belief and believe what the Word has said. You're virtuous. Washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word. Now, he washed by the water of his own blood. Listen, listen, listen. That become flesh and manifested that he might take you, which were predestinated in the... Look where you come from. Look where you come from. Look where you come from. Your whole life you felt something strange. You didn't understand what it was until finally you heard the high calling of the high priest and he brought you back into the camp and you recognized this is what you should have always been. This is the way you should have always done. He was infected by that leprosy like everybody else. But when you got back into the bosom where you belonged all the time, he hid you. The scripture, even Paul would say, and I don't have time, we have been enveloped, which means we are hidden within him. You were predestinated in the bosom of the Father before the beginning, that same as he was the great attribute of God called love. It's the law that put the leper out, but it's going to be the blood that brings him back in. I said it was going to be sin that would take him out. But it's going to be mercy that brings him back in. Preach with me, somebody. I said it was the law that declared me a sinner. It was the law that declared me unclean. It was the law. It was the law that separated me and banished me from the very kingdom of God. But it was by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed me. Oh, hallelujah. That brought me back into the original fellowship that I was always a part of to begin with. It was the blood. I declare to you today that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power to loose every leper. There's power to unbind sickness. There's power to loose you from sin. Has the power to bring you back into the camp of God again. Scripture says, I'll quit. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this should be the law of the leper. And the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought into the priest. And the priest shall go forth the priest shall go forth, walk forth, proceed forth. Can I tell you what I see? There's no man that's been found worthy. And John begins to cry because no man was found worthy. He looked above the earth, under the earth, within the earth. There was no man found worthy. Oh, but there come one proceeding from his Father's throne, which is not a bench, it's not a seat, it's a position in God. And here he come proceeding forth outside the camp where me as a leper was at. Glory! Hallelujah! The priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command us. Notice this. This ain't the leper leading the priest around. This is the priest leading the leper around. And sons of God are led by the... And the priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean. Watch. Cedar, scarlet, and hyssop. We talked about it last night. The cedar, which represents the cross. Come on, somebody. The hyssop, which was given to him, and the scarlet, was to all be put into the fire. Notice this. And he's commanded to take the very act of Calvary, the very initiation of Calvary, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. And for the living bird, he shall take the cedar wood, the scarlet, the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him the living bird. And he shall be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. 7 times. And he shall pronounce him. He shall declare him. You've never done it in the first place. Don't you see? That's the declaration that has been among us because of the secret hidden parts of God's mind has been revealed by the unfolding of the bosom and the very mind of God, the very revelation, the very mystery that lay behind the 7 seals. When that 7th seal come open, don't you see that the blood released something greater than sanctification, and not just the justification they had in the ages. I'm talking about a justification after the seals. Shall pronounce him clean and shall let. Now, notice the 7th time. After the 7th time, there's an announcement made. Whew. This is too much, man. After the 7th time, there comes a voice. After the 7th time, somebody starts speaking on the leper's behalf. That somebody start talking on the leper's behalf. Glory! He shall pronounce. You've never done it. It was put in the seat of God's forgiveness, and you go back into the bosom where you was all along, predestinated in the mind of God. But what happens to the other bird? After the announcement, what happens to the other bird after the blood is on him? After he gets justified and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, and he gets baptized and then pronounced over, what happens after the voice sounds? The high priest takes the bird that is alive out into the field. And the leper follows the priest to the field. And the high priest looses the bird. And now, after the announcement, after the proclamation of the word, I will fly away. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7, 14, 7. Hallelujah! He shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose. into the open field. One bird pays the price, the other bird gets loosed. One bird suffers, the other bird gets set free. One bird has to pay the price, and the other bird enjoys the freedom of the blood of its dead mate. That leper could stand there in that field and he could look up into the sky as that bird is flying away. And Brother Ram said, as that bird is flopping its wings, the blood, oh glory, the blood would run off the wings. I said, we are covered by the blood. When you leave here, you're saved by amazing grace, and blood begins to drop from the wings of eagles, of sons and daughters of God, amateur God that was always in God. The blood begins to drop from our wings, showing that when you go into the rapture, it's all because of grace. Praise be to God. Oh, think about it. Drop down to earnestly contending for the faith. I'd read you those quotes, but we ain't got time. Now watch. So the blood on the wings of the bird is speaking on his behalf. And every person around the camp, when they look up and see that bird flying, when they behold the flying of the bird, they understand banishment is over. Separation, Brother Terry, is done. Oh, brother, don't you realize it's over now? Them children can stand out there. Maybe it was their daddy. They can stand out there and say, Daddy's going to be restored back to what he originally was. Hallelujah! We will be restored back to the image that we originally was in the beginning. Because the priest stands there as our attorney. He stands there as our high priest, our judge, that when the prosecutor would stand and demand us to be condemned, to point out as the accuser of the brethren, our attorney stands there. Brother Ram says it like this, earnestly contending for the faith. He stands as mine and your representative. Then God don't look at us no more. He looks to your representative. Condemnation by representation, leprosy. Justification, the results, come on somebody, that results in representation of the free bird. Then God don't look at us, he looks at our representative. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Christ standing in your stead, representing us before the Father. You ever in a court trial, the representative, he stands as our attorney, standing to plead. Who knows to do any better than he does? And he's the very Son of the Father, standing in the presence of God to plead we sinners' case. Was the Holy Ghost? How could you go into details of that and break down how that it makes intercession for our ignorance? Hallelujah! Sometimes when we got the Holy Ghost, everybody got me who I'm talking about? Those that's got the Holy Ghost. When we ignorantly stagger into something, I'm bringing you back down to earth for a minute. Because I need this. When David Siler ignorantly staggers into something he shouldn't be in, the Holy Spirit's there to make an advocate for us. He is our advocator. He stands there. He's our attorney. He stands there and pleads for us. He don't plead. We don't plead for ourselves, because the Holy Ghost in us pleads for us. The Holy Spirit giving utterance sometimes with words you can't understand, making intercession for us. That's what the Holy Ghost is. When I walk into something, I walk like a little kid. You walk like a little fellow. We're walking in a dark world full of enemies, full of sin, full of traps, full of everything. You say, oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to take Christian life. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to do that. Don't be afraid. We have an advocate. And he stands by us. Lord, I want to believe this. He's in us and makes intercessions, plural, for us. The Holy Spirit, watch Brother Brown, constantly making an advocate for all, for us all the time. Loosing the leper. Let me just close with this. Luke chapter 5, or Mark chapter 1, verse 40. There was a leper that had heard of the fame of Jesus. No doubt he had heard how Jesus had healed many of sick folk. He'd heard out that Jesus had raised the dead. And that leper thought, if Jesus can heal those people, and he can take someone that's dead, he can take somebody that smells dead, acts dead, walks around dead, what can he do with me with leprosy? If that leper could speak, I heard him yesterday. If that leper could speak, just a couple days prior to this, I heard something. I heard that Jesus went down to the synagogue. And when he walked into that synagogue, he walked up there and took the book from the high priest. And he opened up that book and he began to proclamate, according to the scripture, that Isaiah had already spoken, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. And I heard him say something like this: this day, this scripture fulfilled. And we're common and we're very familiar with that, but that ain't all he said. I said, that ain't all he said. I want to hear what else he said before he sat down. He said, just like in the days of Elijah, there was one woman who had a need. And Elijah was sent to that one woman. And I hear the leper say, not only did he talk about that woman, he said there was a man in the scripture that Elisha had talked to by the name of Naaman, who was a leper. And Elisha was sent to that leper. And he gave instructions to that leper on how to be cleansed. Oh, and if that Elijah in that day is the one who is the acceptable year of the Lord standing right there, oh, I'll be like that leper in the scripture. I'm just like Naaman. I'm infected with this leprosy. Jesus is coming through. This man gets up. No doubt his mind's telling him, there ain't nobody going to let you by him. There ain't nobody to let you near him. You're not worthy. Listen to me. You're unworthy. You're not worthy to come into his presence. You're not worthy to be around him. You're not worthy for him to touch you. I'm preaching, somebody. But I can't lay here no more. I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of living like this. I've got to do something. I've heard the great things that he's done. I've heard that he's a great healer. I've heard that he's forgiven sins even. Hallelujah! I've heard what he's done. I got to leave this leper colony. And I've got to go down to where he's at. I've got to get out of this mess that I'm in. I've got to get up and get down to where he's at. I refuse. I refuse to live with the guilt of leprosy. I refuse to let this be the end. Hallelujah. I can see him as he gets up and he covers his face, puts his cloak on, and he staggers down the road. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. Jesus is there touching people. This leper's body's broke out with sores oozing. Hallelujah. Bleeding from his body. I can hear him as he comes near. He's crying out, I'm clean, unclean. Wanting to make sure. What you watching for? I don't want nobody to throw stones at me. Because I know how church folk are. I know how people are. God, that was a good one right there. Mm-hmm. I can see him as he's approaching Jesus. I'm clean. I'm clean. Did you hear that? Get the kids, get away from me. That's a leper, it's a leper. Hey, it's a leper. And everybody else is running. Everybody else is gathering their kids, getting their children, gather them up. And everybody else is running from this leper. But one person. Everybody else was scared of his disease. But one person. Everybody else was scared to get infected, but one person, Brother Ryan. And he was standing there, and this man comes up before Jesus, and he kneels down to where he's at. I love what he says. If thou wilt, thou can make me whole. I'm not guessing about it. I'm not wondering about it. It's not a debate. Thou canst make me whole. And then he humbles himself before the very fountain of purity. That was my confession. That was your confession. You're the cleaning agent. You're my pleading attorney. You're my only hope. You're my miracle in the making. You're my way of escape. You're my emancipator. You're the answer to the law. You're the answer to my leprosy. Jesus, move with compassion. Took that precious, undefiled, clean hand. No mistakes, no spots, no leprosy. A pure, spotless lamb. As the man fell before him, Jesus, story of my life, Jesus took that hand and he reached down. He reached down to the west where every leper was at. And he touched that leper. You know what the Bible says? And immediately. No Hail Marys. No beating yourself. No pain, no agony. He just touched him. Brother David, he just touched him. That's what he did to me. He reached all the way down to where I was at. He took that precious, undefiled, spotless hand and he reached down to where I was at. And he touched me. And because of the touch, I'm wearing this tie this morning. Because of the touch, you're sitting on that pew this morning. You know why? He touched you, brother. He touched you. Stand our feet. Let our musicians come. Oh, I said he touched me. You would have given up years ago had he not touched you. You had been defiled all of your life. You would have died in loathsome pain and leprosy. But Jesus reached down to where you was at. He took his precious, undefiled, spotless hand and he touched me. He touched me! And all the joy that fills my soul. Loosing the leper. Loosing the leper. Let's bow our hearts this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I love you today, Lord, with all of my heart. Oh, Jesus. Friends, don't you see? I preached the story of my life this morning. Just like I preached the story of your life. Amen. Taking us all the way from the fall, all the way down past the 7 drops of blood, all the way down to the end time. At the end of the 7 where the announcement has been made. And Paul could come to the people. And he would say unto them, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after leprosy. Who walk not after the flesh. But after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of leprosy. And you're dead, and your life is hid in Christ, that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water. By the word. What for, Brother David? That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. Without blemish. He don't just take and cure your leprosy. But he removes every spot until there's not even a scar of what you had in your life. Oh, praise God. He touched me. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Well, I wish I could buy a head such a heavy burden. Well, underneath a load of guilt and shame. Let me tell you my confession now. Oh, glory! No longer the same. All sing of love in your heart, Eagles. Lift your hands. Yes, he touched me. And oh, yes, he touched me. I know that something outside the camp happened. And now, oh yes, I know he touched me and he made me whole. Oh, and ever since I met this wonderful Savior, How many is thankful you're washed in that blood? Oh, praise be to God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Can we sing that? There is power in the name of Jesus. Now just close your eyes just before we go. I know we live in a world today where they wanted to dishonor our flag. They dishonor the men and the women that has fought to keep you and I with the liberties that we have today. And it's only a type. It's only something in the natural that speaks of something in the spiritual. Religion is so condemned all over the world. They don't mind if you say you're Muslim. They don't even mind if you say you're Hindu. They don't even mind you talking about God. But when you put a name to that God, that's when people get offended. But I'm not ashamed of the name of my God. It's not Krishna. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Son of God, until I leave this world in a rapture, I'll pledge my allegiance to Him, brother. Because He's worthy. Help me sing it just before we go. With all of your heart, soldiers. Amen. I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength. With all I am. And I will seek to honor Him. Hallelujah. Will I pledge. If they would renounce the name of Christ, and one by one, yes, they chose to die for the Son, the High Priest, they would not. Glory! My
covering.